We're not here because we're bored. We're not here because there's nothing good on TV. Well, there's not, but we stand firm that he is real. How many of you have sons? Okay, good. So this will probably sound familiar to you. Will you stop running in the house? Okay, and you've already said it 12 times, and your child says, yes, okay, I will. I'm not going to. Well, actually, I'm not going to get hurt, is what he's actually telling you, right? Because he has faith in himself that nothing is going to suddenly stop him, right? Until your child, for example, slips on the kitchen floor, or runs into a door, or, you know, those vicious inanimate objects like chairs that actually slide out of nowhere and attack your child while running. Okay. I actually learned a very valuable lesson not to use even big words in front of my son because he figured them out right away and was able to translate. My son, he ran into a table, and the corner of the table caught him right at the eyebrow, and he's crying that he's hurt. And I said, oh, I absolutely detest the way inanimate objects reach out and viciously, without warning, attack. So you know the table got me! Okay. Right. So anyway. But when Sean is running and he does get hurt, he always says, I promise I will never run in the house again. Which lasts maybe 5 minutes. Keeps going. Well, you know, I think God shows us that illustration with our own boys because Israel did the very same thing over and over again. And here's our Heavenly Father saying, will you stop running? You're going to get hurt. And Israel looks up and says, oh, I won't. I'm not going to run. And that lasts all of 5 minutes, and then they keep running. And then they get hurt. I can prove this to you. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1, if you return, O Israel, says the Lord, if you return to me. What are they doing? They're running. But they're doing even worse. They're running away. And just keep going. And he tells them that if you return to me, you will be blessed. But you know what the difference is between my son running in the house and what the Israelites are doing here? In order for my son to stop running, he actually has to physically contact another piece of furniture in the house to get him to stop running. What I wish God would do just once is bring the Holy Spirit and the Shekinah glory, wham! which is what he does with the Israelites later on in chapter 4. That will get your attention. Guarantee it. Would me. Verse 11 of chapter 4. At that time, it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights in the desert toward my poor people, not to winnow or cleanse. A wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them. Look, he comes up like clouds, his chariots like the whirlwind, his horses are swifter than eagles. Woe to us, for we are ruined. O Jerusalem, wash your heart clean of wickedness so that you may be saved. How long shall your evil schemes lodge within you? We have a God that can stop us in our tracks with an unparalleled dynamic. And why? It's for our healing. And here you thought, well, maybe we're going to have a nice happy message this Sunday. Heh. No. This is God ushering in this healing, starting with verses 11 and 12, with a hot wind. How many of you have been to North Dakota in July? Okay, so we're the only stupid fools that have done this. Last July, the Godmers went out to North Dakota. It is 95 degrees outside, and the wind is 50 miles an hour. And here we are, stupid tourists, checking out all of the different sites, wondering, how come nobody else is outside? Nobody else is on the road? Nobody is anywhere? I think my husband said it best. This is like walking through a blast furnace. And it was. And when I read about this hot wind, I'm thinking, it probably was even worse than that. Oof. You see, this wind, the Old Testament has a couple different words that can be translated wind. This particular one is ruach. This wind is actually synonymous to a breath that actually sustains your physical being, that breath that comes in and out of your lungs. So we're not talking about your soul, we're talking about the spirit. Now, it's not just this wind that comes, though. I mean, that's scorching enough. That's enough to give anybody a wake-up call, trust me. This is part of God's perfect storm. We've got a hot wind coming from God out of the bare heights in the desert toward us. This is his spirit. The Holy Spirit himself is causing this scorching, whirling dust storm with more power than anything that these Israelites have ever experienced before. to heal us, to make us stop running. That's drastic. That's quite a drastic wake-up call. Why would he do this even to the point of bitterness? Why? Well, it says here that evil schemes lodge within us. He gave the Israelites an opportunity to cleanse their hearts themselves, to repent, to come to him and say, I'm tired of running. I want to stand firm here and now with you. He gave them that opportunity over and over and over again, and yet they won't stop running. And so what does he have to do? He stops them. If you don't do that cleansing in your heart yourself, God will do it. And it won't feel pleasant. He has to do the bitter, drastic cleansing to wash us clean of all that garbage that we have allowed inside. And there's a reason for doing that. Because he wants the space. He wants to permanently reside within us. So if we allow the Holy Spirit to take this action of judgment, it says in Jeremiah 1:10, see, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. We can't do it until he does it first. He has to come in, pluck up, pull down our pride, our deceptions. He has to do the judgment. But when he destroys our pedestals, when he overthrows our government, then he can build. He can plant. And isn't that really what we want? Is anything in here worth anything? Certainly nothing eternal. But if we allow him and give him as much space as he wants, which, by the way, is all of it. The only way that's going to happen is if he breaks that clay soil up, burns those altars that we have created for ourselves. And we all do it. We do. But when he comes inside, it's because he has created a fresh start within us. So he can. Now, what kind of presence are we talking about? Verse 13, I love this. He comes up like clouds. This word, clouds, is the feminine word. This is the Shekinah herself that comes, that overshadows us. So we have the Holy Spirit coming in and breaking up what needs to go, sending that fiercely bitter hot wind to scorch all of the weeds that we have planted within us. Scorch them dead. And then the Shekinah can come. The glory of God. That's the only way that we can see that glory. When nothing else is distracting us. And I love that the Holy Spirit and the Shekinah come together. Because I don't know about you, but there were times in my life when my dad, if I had done something wrong, there was one way that he was going to respond, and I was going to remember that. But my mom would take a completely different approach. My mother was the type that sometimes said absolutely nothing for hours to you if you did something wrong. The worst thing that she ever did to me was she sat me at the kitchen table, got out a jigsaw puzzle, and said, "We're going to put this together. And you're not leaving till it's done." And it was one of those impossible jigsaw puzzles. And she said nothing all afternoon and evening long. Just glared at you like this. Scared the snot out of me. So we've got God doing the same thing. Sometimes Father will come and get our attention. And sometimes the female side of God will come and get our attention completely differently. So we have the Shekinah. We have the whirlwind. This word whirlwind, we're actually talking about the power of a hurricane. Not just the 50-mile-an-hour winds we had in North Dakota. We're talking hurricane force. And his horses are coming swifter than eagles. I did some research on that swifter than eagles. You see, the Hebrew people actually believed that there was nothing faster than an eagle. So what we're really talking about here in today's vernacular, we've got his horses coming at the speed of light. Now, put this whole image together with that much power, with that incredible presence. Where is it? In you. Try to imagine that. We would have absolutely no reason for the rest of whatever to ever worry, to ever fear, to ever quit, to ever, whatever Satan tried to throw at us. If we would just take a hold of that presence within us. But he's not going to do it until he plucks up, he pulls down, he destroys, he overthrows whatever God we have placed in his place. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I hear people talking about we want to have revival. We want to have that. We want to bring that. It's within our grasp. That's the power he wants to place in us. What's holding back revival? It's us. Really is. It's not him. It's us. We've built our own God. Whatever that is. Every one of us is guilty of this. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to let him send as hot and as bitter of a wind as he needs to, so I can have more of this kind of presence in my life. Father, do what you have to do. Bring what you want to bring. If you have to lay what's inside us in ruins, do it. Because when we reach that point of desolation, then you can bring your fullness. You want to bring your growth. You're tired of us turning back. And you know something? If I'm honest, I'm tired of turning back. I'm tired of taking flight. I am allowing you to send your horsemen, send your archers, and destroy whatever tent I have erected. I want to hear your trumpet sound. I want to hear you break the silence. To hear the angels shout and proclaim that you are taking back this land. I want your understanding. I want to know how to do what you ask me to do. I want you to set the standard. You tell us that this is available. It was available then. You are the same God now, so it's available now. Reach. my heart. Conform it to your ways and what you want to do. And bring me into your presence. It's not about me. This church is about you. This church is supposed to be your heartbeat. It is supposed to be your voice. This is your moment. Let your fullness come.